What the fuck is up? This is JP. I am the Dissident in Chief, and today we have an interesting guest who, by the way, if you are ever on Clubhouse, me and him, and you're about to find out, sound exactly the fucking same, because this is not going to be confusing enough. His name is David Lilly, and he runs the Pardon Will podcast, where he has a whole bunch of different shit going on. David, what's up, brother?
Dude, what's going on? Yeah, this is going to not be confusing for anyone out there because we sound so much alike. Good luck. Well, yeah, it is what it is. I guess they'll be able to tell it apart after a little while.
God, I hope so, because otherwise this is going to get confusing. I would recommend
it's going to sound more like you talking. It's going to sound like you're just talking to yourself. It's like, this is just a solo episode. I don't know why he keeps making up this imaginary character, David.
They're going to think I'm fucking schizophrenic or some shit, which would make fucking sense, but yeah.
They are. It's going to be great. I'm going to try to interrupt you that way that at least sounds ventriloquist-y, where it's like, okay, there's not enough space in between, so there's got to be somebody else he's talking to.
Oh, exactly.
I'll make it work.
And then,
yeah, very cool.
So,
yeah, thanks, dude. Thanks for having me on. Like I said, this is the first time I've been a guest on a podcast. And I've been waiting for this day since I started mine. And I've had other podcasters on, but never get an invite. And so I was like, all right, well, that's fair. But yeah, it's the first time.
Well, I know you were on the Liberty Roundtable on Muddy Waters Media, like a couple weeks back. I guess that's a podcast. Yep.
Well, that was my question. I was like, I don't know if this is technically a podcast, but okay. That technically might have been the first, but I didn't know if I should consider it a podcast.
Which, if you want to find, it's on Muddy Waters Media from a couple weeks back, called Liberty Roundtable number one.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I think, weren't they going to be doing another one here? I think it might have been yesterday. Oh my God, did they do one yesterday and I missed it?
They had one Monday. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. I missed it.
See, they actually had diversity on this one because the first one was kind of like you were the least libertarian, even though you're pretty fucking libertarian.
I tried to bring out the lack of libertarian part in that, just kind of add some flavor, but it was a lot of agreeing. We all kind of agreed, and then we were just like, but let me go further. And that was kind of what it was.
Yeah. The last one they just did actually had like, not like a super Trump person, but pretty Trump person. And then like a Democrat that isn't like fucking nuts. And then
really,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then, but that's talking about other content on my podcast. Yeah,
why are we promoting there? Why are we promoting theirs? No, forget about that. Don't even go. Don't even go to Muddy Waters. Just block them on Twitter. That's what I would do. Block them on Twitter.
Well, I mean, I like them, but you know, like, I'm just kidding. I like them, but you know, you gotta stick with me. That's the way to the path, the truth, the light. Like fucking Jesus, but worse.
Don't block that. If I was to block Muddy Waters, that would be blocking like one of 10 people who actually follow me on Twitter, and that's just not cool. I'd hate to lose my 10th follower. That would be bad.
That kind of dude. So the question I have though is that when I go, like, you do have a website, pardonwillartistry.com. I did look it up.
Oh yeah.
Interesting artwork there, like, and then it's like actual, like, fucking, like, mostly like painted shit, like, and not like fucking screen printing. Yeah. So like, how do you get into that kind of thing rather than like other like forms of creativity?
You mean like doing hand painted artwork, that kind of thing, versus like doing digital
or doing like Photoshop or making memes, that kind of shit when it comes to like pictures and all that?
Oh yeah. I talked to some people who do that a lot. I think I wasn't, most of them went to school and I just didn't have the education. And so I always tell people, I just kind of stuck with my guns. I started painting I think the first painting I ever painted was on a pizza box, and my roommate had some acrylics, and our place was nothing on the wall. It was kind of dingy. And I was like, I'm going to let's watch Flight of the Conchords and let's paint something. And so I just started painting on pizza boxes and putting them up, just abstract garbage. And then I just kept going with it. But yeah, I don't have any intellect. I don't know how to use Photoshop. I barely have scraped by with a podcast, to tell you the truth. I don't know what I'm doing with that either. And so I don't know computers. So I just stick with what I'm used to, which is watercolors. I'm basically just a grown man, but a child, like an inner child's inside of a grown man's body. I just play with pretty colors on paper and I run with it. Plus, I'm kind of waiting for an advent where people are like, you know what? I'm kind of tired of digital. I want a real piece of artwork on my wall. And that's kind of where I run.
So you're waiting for the art hipsters to come back.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. That's a big thing. That's the big thing I'm going for. But I might create an NFT. I've been in the process of doing it. That'll probably be the closest, but it'll literally just be my artwork as an NFT. And so, I mean, I'm basically make NFTs for a living. They're just not on blockchain. They're just real work. They're real art. And that's
the OG NFT for all you fucking
exactly.
Like Zoomers and shit. Like you have fucking paintings that are one of a kind. You can do that without fucking cryptoing the fuck out of it. You know what I mean?
You can. Yeah, I know it's super strange to people, but they're like, but how do I store it in my wallet? And you're like, God, all
right, it's called a fucking wall on your apartment. Okay.
But then what am I going to do with my, I almost said the Shins poster, but man, that just dated me. I don't even know what people have on their walls anymore.
I mean, I know the fucking Shins, but I'm also 28. I know. So.
Yeah. I highly doubt there's like a 21-year-old out there with a Shins poster.
Fuck no.
And if they do, they got it from like they're like, check out this vintage, the Shins poster. It's framed and stuff. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. That's it, man. Yeah. So I like doing that. So I like working with my hands. I like to write a lot, but the majority of the writing I do is actually handwritten in a journal. I think I might be so hipster. I'm overly hipster.
I mean, you are in fucking Albany, New York, so.
Yeah, I don't know if that can be considered hipster area. Maybe. I mean, it's not like Brooklyn.
I mean, you do have hipsters there, right?
Like, there's about seven of us, if you exclude me, eight if I'm counted in. But other than that, yeah, it's not super history. We have two breweries.
Only two?
In Albany, we have a bunch outside where all the rich people live. They're making breweries left and right. But in Albany, I think there's probably more. I don't even know. I'm just really trying hard not to have to turn my hipster card in. And it looks like I'm going to have to by the end of this podcast, because I don't even know how many breweries are in my city, which is an utter fail.
Well, speaking of podcasts, I was listening to yours earlier. Like, let's just say, like, obviously on mine, I try to have like some normal conversations, but then politics comes in at some point. But normal as in like my version of normal, which is fucking batshit insane. But
yeah, I was about to say, hold on. Wait, can we define normal real quick? But yeah,
you go all over the place. Like in one episode, you're talking with like Larry Sharp and Alicia Purdy. The one Alicia Purdy was just dropped like a couple days ago. And then like you go back a couple of months, you're doing like reviews of like Loki episodes. And then like a couple, like a month ago, it was like you're talking to a pastor. It's like, damn, you get around and you're talking about all kinds of shit. Like, is that kind of what you're going for with your podcast?
Yeah, it wasn't at first. Oh, sorry. It wasn't at first. I started the podcast just to do, because I had an art gallery in Albany. God, I'm getting my hipster card back. I had an art gallery in Albany for a little bit, and I wanted to showcase the artists showing in the gallery. Every month I would rotate artists through, and I was like, you know what would be cool? It's kind of, everyone has a podcast, this thing called Anchor. I could probably do this pretty easily. There's some space in the back of the gallery. Why don't I just ask the artists to come in, and we'll just talk about their art instead of them having to sit there and kind of work in the gallery. It was just one of those things where like, what else can I do with the space that I have? And so I started it there. But then I was like, I want to have a musician in, and I want to talk to people who are creative. Basically it's almost like a personal journal, man. It was like, I have questions, I have thoughts, I have these things I want to have conversations about, but I don't know. It's not like I just call up a friend to be like, hey, will you sit down and talk to me for an hour and a half about why people don't want to spend money on a photographer's photo, but they will on something handmade. Like, what do you think the stigma is? Stupid stuff like that. And then it just spawned from there. And then I just started, you know, what else do I want to hear about? I had a buddy of mine who started becoming a physical therapist. I mean, not a physical therapist, a personal trainer and a nutritionist. And I was like, and he comes from studies of sleep. So I was like, this could be a very interesting conversation. And this gives me an opportunity to talk to people I may never have talked to, like Larry Sharp. I would have never been able to talk to Larry Sharp had I not had a podcast. So I've used this as a personal growth kind of thing. And I'm prone to like to have really interesting conversations. I'm not a small talker by any means. And so I was like, why don't I just record them and I'll just keep putting them out as long as people keep talking to me. And they can be whatever they want. I know I do have a wide spectrum of different kinds of people. I know, pastors and artists and musicians and, you know, personal trainers. And then, people started answering my emails and DMs and people that never knew me, like Larry Sharp or, Sandy Clunes. He's out in England and I sent him a DM, I slid into his DMs and I was like, you got a podcast on mental health. I've got some questions. Would you come on mine and talk to me about it? And he said, yeah. And so I was like, all right, well, so sky's the limit, man. I'm okay with talking about anything if it's interesting.
So
if I think it'll get me.
So if you slid into the DMs of like the guy from England and you get on a podcast, he comes up naked and he's like, oh, fuck, wrong podcast.
Oh, God, yeah, damn that it. Could have been the wrong one. yeah, good thing I don't do video yet. That's coming up in a month or two. I'm going to become a famous YouTube celebrity. YouTube star like that Logan guy and then start boxing matches in a month when I start doing video. But everything up to then has just been audio, man. I'm old school. And so I just stuck with audio.
I mean, I'm doing audio mostly because I'm ugly as fuck. But, you know, I sound a hell of a lot better than I'm fucking looking at here.
Man, I'm going to be honest. Number one, I don't think you're ugly. I think our voices sound the same. And you got a beard. It's like automatically covering up half your face, which means something's got to be okay. But the other thing is, have you seen a bunch of YouTube stars out there? I mean, I haven't really looked at them. I don't know.
Are they
only good looking?
I mean, like Ethan Klein isn't particularly like stunning, but you know,
I don't know him. I'm an idiot, man. I don't watch them. So everyone I listen to, I don't know what Joe Rogan looks like. I just know what his voice. No, I'm joking. I know that much, but, you know, I don't pay attention to him, but I'm sure you probably do have to be good looking to be successful in the YouTube world.
I mean, it gets rid of a lot of like problems. I mean, fucking TikTok is the same problem where like literally like a girl will be talking about something, but no one will give a fuck. She shows her fucking rack like for the first 30 seconds and then. You're over here like, you know, I was very interested in your talks about fridges.
That's a very interesting topic of, yeah, no, no, I totally
I'm going to slide in your DMs like, what kind of model fridge do you have? Yeah, very interested.
Would you like to come on my podcast and have a longer conversation about? Yeah. Yeah, I guarantee there's a ton of them. I guarantee there's a ton of people starting podcasts just to talk to people on TikTok.
I mean, fuck. I mean, I'm not opposed to that, but. You know, I'm a fucking, I am what I am. And people know, I guess some people are figuring out like, yeah, I'm not like serious. And I'm trying to be funny and all that. So it's nothing bad. It's just,
well, let me flip the script on you. Cause the question I have is I'm kind of all over the place. What do you got going? I know you started this pretty recently, but you've had some pretty awesome guests so far, myself included. Where are you going with this? Are you feeling it out? Or you got a plan or you got an idea?
Like everything else in my life, I'm feeling it out. Like I know my first guest was actually a mutual friend of ours, fucking Thomas Queter. And I know you met him.
Yeah, nice.
And
good start on the first
guest. Give me your story with him because you've actually met him in person. Is he actually fucking crippled or is he making that shit up?
Crippled. I think he's actually missing body parts, but more than just crippled.
Oh, dude, Tom is the best, but also
Tom is absolutely the best. Tom is absolutely the best. He was the only one, honestly, I met him at a Liberty. I first started hanging out in Clubhouse and I ran into Tom on there. And, you know, Tom gets around on Clubhouse and definitely has an opinion. I was like, this guy's in New York. I'm in New York. And then he invited me to a libertarian fundraiser. And at this point in time, I still wasn't like technically the principles somewhat of a libertarian, but I'm registered as an independent. I don't claim it that well, but libertarian very well because I don't know a ton about it. Plus, I think people keep saying, I mean, just a side rant, people keep saying that libertarians argue a lot. I haven't noticed that, but once again, I don't pay attention too hard. So I wasn't sure if I was a libertarian or not. I thought maybe I was just a centrist. And so I went to this fundraiser and I walk in and I see Thomas, and even in his pictures online, he's in a motorized wheelchair. And he looks exactly like he does online. And the cool thing was, he gave me the same thing. I walk in and I'm like, I see him, and obviously he stands out. And so I was like, all right,
he's not standing for shit. What are you talking about?
He sits out. He definitely sits out. Yeah. man, I love Thomas. It sounds like we're making fun of him, but this is Thomas's gig. He'll be the first one. He'll be the first one to do this.
He'll want us to go fucking harder. Like that. If you know him, he has better jokes than we do.
He has so many. I have a t-shirt of him, and it's I don't have it anywhere. I bought it just giving to his campaign, and it's him in a motorized wheelchair flying through the sky. On it says, "I run better than Albany." I just feel like this is the greatest t-shirt ever. And so it's a great t-shirt. But yeah, he saw me and he was like, "David." And I was like, "Hey, how'd you recognize me?" He's like, "You're probably the only other person online who looks like their profile pic." And I was like, "Yeah, me and you, man. Me and you." So that's kind of how we found each other. And then we hung out and chatted that night. But good people. I definitely enjoy Thomas. He's a great person. I'm having him on as a guest later on this year. When I have video going, because I want people to see Thomas and get his jokes.
Oh, so. You want him to, you want to see and exploit a fucking cripple. I fucking get you. You fucking piece of shit.
I may or may have not said that. Yeah, no, I definitely want to. Matter of fact, I think that would be great. But yeah, that's it. Another one, just bash Thomas for 10 minutes.
Oh my God. But
yeah, so you're just feeling it out. Is this a libertarian podcast? Is that where you're going with it?
I mean, I'm talking liberty shit, but like, I mean, I'm more of an anarchist myself, but because of,
oh really?
Because okay. Last year happened, but
yeah, no, that makes sense.
But like, I'm open to talking to a whole bunch of different people, but right now my circle is pretty much like libertarian and libertarian adjacent. So I'm cool with that for now. And then
very cool. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you've seen me on these fucking Clubhouse debate rooms and shit like that. And I don't know.
Yeah.
For doing that for like hours it's a good fucking test of like mental patience. Dude. Like, and fuck, like I've seen you go off on fucking people in rooms before.
Yeah, I try not to. That app is somewhat addictive. I brought it up on my own podcast. It just being like that. Sometimes I wake up the next day and just go like, why am I even hanging out on this thing? And so that app, but it also has this weird, like, because I like to listen to podcasts while I work. And so it's very tempting to be like, well, I'll just listen to, why don't I just get on there and I'll just listen to someone have a conversation. And then 10 minutes into it, I'm like, not as interesting as I want. Maybe I can find a good debate. And then, you know, an hour in, I'm just scrolling, trying to find the most controversial, most argumentative rooms I could possibly find, because it is a bit of an addiction. It's almost like scrolling Twitter just to see a fight. And it can get rough. And so, yeah, man, I love Clubhouse, but I don't know if it's doing anything good for my soul. So I'm going to have to back up on it.
I mean, you get to meet definitely get to meet a lot of people you never would have met otherwise, though. That's where I'm at with it.
That is true. Matter of fact, a majority of the podcasts that I have, not the majority, I definitely have a lot of podcasts coming up in the future that are specifically because I met them on Clubhouse. Whereas I would have never got a chance to sit down and talk to them, or, you know, I could have slid into their DMs. But it's easier once you already get to hear someone talk. That's the only problem with doing a podcast of like a cold call, which I've done that before. Especially when it came to artists, I'm basically like, hey, we're going to talk for the very first time. Never talked to you before. I'm going to do my best to make sure it's interesting and keep you included, but you could be a psychopath and I don't know that. And so that's scary. So Clubhouse is a nice, like, I've heard this person speak for an hour and a half, kind of get their vibe. They'd be a good podcast guest. So yeah, it's actually pretty good for that.
And then you're dealing with fucking, well, politics. Like, I mean, all of us are goddamn psychopaths if you really think about it. Cause we're fucking,
for sure.
We're addicted to something that is inherently fucking stressful and is only stressful if you really, really think about it. Because most people don't give two flipping fucks about politics. But like the ones that are like addicted to it, it's like fucking heroin. You try to fucking say like, oh, this is fucking bad for me. Like, I don't need to be watching this fucking CNN bullshit, these fucking Twitter bullshit fights about these shits. And then a week later, you're back into it. You're like, fucking, this is great. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Even though you don't really just like
tap on your arm. Yeah, no, I think there is something inside the brain that clicks when it comes to, I don't know, some people like baseball. Like I'm not saying like they enjoy baseball. I mean, they really, really, they know all the stats. They have fantasy football team. Matter of fact, I think we should come up with like a fantasy football, but for politics, and just be like, rate, pick your politicians and see how they rate, see what kind of laws they pass. Bet money on it, because if we're going to get anything, at least maybe for once we'll get something out of government. If we can place bets on them, like who's going to stay in office. I wanted to bet on the recent election. I thought that was a genius idea. I think we should add gambling to every election.
I mean, it would make it an actual, I mean, some people will say it's a fucking horse race, but then I'm like, let's fucking actually make it a fucking horse race and fucking bet on this shit. Fuck it.
Well, could you imagine if you did, you could bet like it was illegal. Like it was like, you have your, like your voting booth and then you have your place, your numbers booth. You know how many more people would get out and actually vote if they knew that like, well, my vote's going to help me win. And so that might be a great incentive. Look, they were adding people like if you get vaccinated, you can win a lottery ticket or whatever. Like they're doing that. Why don't they do that for voting as well? If they're going to pull like that whole get a free cheeseburger and maybe win $1 million, then I think they should do that too. Offer that one person. Say there's like four lotto tickets. It's like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. If you vote, you're automatically entered in to win everyone's tax money. That would be amazing. But
oh god,
you know what I'm saying? Like something like that. Yeah.
Jesus. It's like the, oh, that's so, I'm trying to think this out. Like how the fuck would that work? Cause wait, like you have a fucking booth next to the voting booth. It's like the, so the degenerate, you get the degenerate gamblers to come out. They're like, I'm going to place my fucking sports books.
Exactly.
And they're going to fucking vote. And they'll be informed because most gamblers don't fucking bet on shit.
They know the stats, dude. They know the stats. That's what I'm saying. They'll be like, oh, this is what's going to happen. I mean, you have a lot of people voting for, well, honestly, you're going to get a lot of populist votes then, because you're really going to be paying attention to the flow of like, well, what are all these, you know, YouGov polls coming out and how are people feeling in this district? And you kind of have to pay attention more than just, I mean, the people who are going to get stuck are the people watching mainstream media, Fox or CNN. Their bets are going to be wrong every time. But if you get someone who's really into it, they're going to really pay attention.
Well, most people who vote are fucking voting out of fear. And usually it's unfounded fear for the most part, because let's face it, like most people just check a box because they've always checked the box, the R box, the D box. Yeah. That's how it works for the most part. And I mean, great. I mean, go ahead and vote, like all that shit. But like, I'm not the biggest simp for democracy, but you know.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's if you want people to go vote. I never voted. The first time I voted was in 2018, and it was for Larry Sharp. And then I proceeded to not vote for anything else. Didn't vote for presidents, didn't vote for anything else. Just wanted to be, I registered to vote specifically to vote for Larry Sharp.
That's pretty Sharp. Based.
I mean, and then I was like, and then it was like Trump and Biden. I was like, I think I'll sit this one out. I don't really care. And then, and now I'm kind of regretting that. I think I probably could have jumped back in, but now we have local governments. I have the mayoral government election thing coming up in a month. And I know a bunch of people running for Senate office, not Senate. I don't remember what it was. I know a few people up here, some libertarians up here running, I'm voting for stuff like that. I'm starting to get into it, but the one thing that I least like, the one thing I'm not so interested in voting for is president. I didn't really care too much. And now I think I might have to jump in on that one too. Sorry, it was a long rant.
Oh yeah, you're good. Like, I mean, you're fucking voting local. That's probably more, that's way more important. Actually, it is no probably. It is more important than fucking president. Like, it goes from, you know, it just sequentially down. Like, the most important is like your fucking dog catcher, school board, your fucking councilman, and then mayor, and then you go up from there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's how it should be. for sure.
So the question I have for you, though, is that as someone who's not like deeply and inherently political and hasn't been for, you know, years and years and years, and you, your normal interview is interviewing non-politicians, how do you deal? Mm-hmm. How do you interview a politician? How do you prepare for that? Someone who's running for office, like Larry, like Alicia Purdy.
How do you,
or just in your process, man, for it. So
this sounds bad. I think I threw this at the beginning. The hardest, Larry's was the hardest, because I knew who he was. And I also felt like this is like, I snuck in, like he should not have agreed to be on my podcast. So I feel like he like Googled the wrong David Lilly. He's like, yeah, I'll talk to this guy. And so I was like, this has to be really good. And I want this to be meaningful, but at the same time, he wasn't running for office at the time. And I listened to his show and he, on his, you know, The Sharp Way, he has a podcast called The Sharp Way. And on his show, he would just talk topics and current events. Oh, hold on a second. Topics and current events. And he would talk, you know, stuff that was happening in New York. And so to prepare for his, man, I had a list of questions that I knew that revolved around my world, which is the art world, which was, I couldn't figure out why a lot of artists that I know are, you know, they're activists and they vote Democrat, like down the line. And I couldn't figure out why. I mean, other than the fact that most artists are in the city, they're really culturally inept. They're very involved with what's going on in the culture. So of course they're going to kind of feed into like whatever the wave in the community is moving, they're going to go with it. But a lot of them are activists and they're very like, we want to see change and we want something different. And so my main question to him was, I'm in this world of artists. I'm somewhat new to the libertarian movement, but I still can't figure out why they're not libertarians. To me, if you're an artist, you would be all about the free market. You would be all about pushing the boundaries and exploring different rules. And I was like, this doesn't make any sense that they're done. And basically his explanation was, is they don't know. And they don't know because not enough people talk about it, is what I got out of it. So I was like, well, great. Then this is what this podcast is for. And so that was fairly easy. I didn't really have a list of, I had like three questions, topics I wanted to go over. But I knew Larry, I knew he likes to go, like he could lead a conversation. So I started with one and then we just walked it through. Same with Alicia. Alicia is running for mayor. I knew she had her points set up and ready to go. And I didn't want a podcast like that. I listen to political podcasts and they're always like, what's your policy on this? And then they answer it real fast and then, what's your policy on? And I could have done that, but that's not fun. That's not interesting. And it doesn't tell you anything about the person. So I sat her down and I told her, I was like, look, I mean, I think I told her to listen to one of them. It was like, it's free form. It's not going to be what you think. I'm not going to braid you. I just want to find out who you are. And so we're just going to veer and we're going to let the conversation go. I have a few questions, but we never even got to them, man. Like I started the podcast, like, why did you want to run for mayor? And that was the only question I asked her that point. And it went from there on out.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how
I pretty much do something similar with when I interview political people is just, I'll talk most like if you see my interview, like for instance with Tom, most of it isn't like policy shit, like policies he wants to enact or get rid of for the most part, because libertarian wants to get rid of most of the government. So but it was mostly like personal stories and like general BS, not BS, but you know, like BSing about like the events that have happened in the last day or two, that kind of shit. And that's how I typically do a podcast.
I think that's the only way to do them. I don't think that's the only way, but I think that's the most authentic way. If you, I can tell the difference between a scripted podcast and an authentic one. And not to be like Joe Roganing my explanation or anything, but there's a lot of people out there. One of my favorite podcasts is a guy who loves horror films and he does interviews with directors of horror films and people I don't know and actors. But his questions are very like, here's my question, here's their answer. Now here's, and it's not even political, but it's the same friggin' format. And I'm tired of it. And I'm not saying that they're doing a bad job, but I just think there something could be done better. So I think we're on the right track. I think me and you,
you're listening to a podcast. Like if you want like their fucking policy on something, go to their fucking website. I mean,
go to the website.
Like it's got it fucking listed out in fucking bulleted form. Like if you want that, go to their website. Yep. If you want to know the person, you hear how they sound in a fucking conversation.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I think. I think it comes around not just politics. I think anything. If you can get, especially if it's long format, like a lot of people I would sit down to talk to, and I'm surprised that they agree to do it in at least an hour. All my guests on my podcast go, "Well, how much time do you have?" Most of them are like, "Well, you know, maybe 45 to an hour." I'm like, "Perfect. That's as much as I need." But then we end up going like an hour and a half most of the time anyway. They're so intrigued. They're like, "Oh, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. I thought you were just going to ask me these surface level questions." But then we start to get some deeper things and finding out a little bit more about them. And you can tell people when they get excited, they get stoked about the conversation. They're like, "Holy hell, I'm actually having a good conversation." Oh, as almost if it's uncommon nowadays, which it might actually be, having a legit conversation might be super uncommon that people just enjoy it so much that they'll give extra time to it and stuff like that.
Well, generally people,
I think we're on the right track.
Well, generally I think I think that like controversial theory that the era of like, you know, keeping politics and religion and all that to yourself, keep it like your dick. You can be proud of it, but you don't show it off in public. That era is fucking ending. Yeah. Like it's getting, if it's not done already, it's closely becoming over. But
yeah, almost to the point of being like, if you don't pull your pants down in public, then you're hiding something. Like, oh, and then they can automatically make suspicions. It's the same thing. Like if someone asks you if you're vaccinated and you're like, "I'd rather not answer." They already know the answer. And so it's one of those kind of things.
Oh my God. You go on fucking, you're married and shit. So you don't have to worry about the fucking dating scene. It's, by the way, you probably know, fucking garbage. Like, and
I would assume so. Yeah.
It's not gotten better since the time you became married and like wifed up and I'm not single. It's fucking trash. Like, you'll go in like someone's dating profile if you are doing it the new age way, and literally all of them are like, "No hookups," even though they're down for hookups, and like vexed, waxed, and ready to party. Yeah.
Oh no! Please tell me that's not an actual thing. All the
fucking time.
Do people put that in profiles?
They will put vaxxed and waxed.
Oh my God! Usually, I thought that was like a SNL joke. I didn't realize that was an actual thing.
No, they do that all the time. Awesome. I do. To be fair, I do live in Dallas, Texas, so it's a little liberal here. Okay, it's not like the most liberal you could ever think of, but my God, it's fucking trash. Like, you just have people that are openly saying, like, "If you're conservative, swipe left. Or if you're liberal, swipe left." Like, it's like, okay, like, maybe they're a cool person that's liberal or they're conservative. Like, this isn't fucking difficult to, like, talk to people and not bring up that shit. But apparently not anymore.
But it is. Dude, it is. It has to be absolutely difficult. Because if you say something like, I can understand, you know, if you have a particular, like, I'm trying to say hypothetically, if you hated conservatives, you're like, "I don't even want to fall in love with a great person, a beautiful woman," and then find out, imagine finding out on your marriage day, like your honeymoon, you're like, you're in Cabo, you know, and it's gorgeous. And you're like, "I'm so happy we're married." And she's like, "I'm so happy I voted for Trump." Then you're like, "Oh my God, my world's going to fall apart." Like, that's ridiculous. And I think people assume like, "Well, I better know up front because it's the most important thing to me." Let them have it. Let them have their cake.
I mean, I would if I found out, like, if they were,
sorry for
you're good, dude.
Sorry for the Rona. My bad.
The deadly Rona. I mean, I could, oh, I mean, I, at this point, like, I'd rather, it's like, oh no. Like, if you fucking find like a girl and you're like on their honeymoon, you're like, "Oh, I'm so glad I voted for Trump." I would finish and then divorce her. Just kidding. But no.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. I think, I don't know about, me and my wife got together before there was even dating apps. We've been together for a long time. And so I never got to experience that kind of a world.
All I got to say though, is that I am really fucking glad that my first time through college, there was no Tinder. I'm really glad because like, if I had had Tinder when I was fucking 18 or 19, I was bad enough just in that, like, doing it the old fashioned way, like going to frat parties and fucking house parties and shit. It was bad enough. If I had Tinder, there's 100% I'd be riddled with fucking STDs and baby mamas.
Yeah. Well, do you know, there's like a stat that came out and said, like, this is this, like, the past 2 years, the average age of virginity is increased, where, like, more and more, I think especially for men, more and more men are keeping their virginity well into their 20s now. And a lot of people are saying it has to do with, because of the dating apps, because it's cauterizing the actual pool of communication. Like in high school, when I was in high school, you know, you were lucky if you know, you were a freshman dating a senior, then you were like,
king shit.
Especially if it worked different. Yeah. Yeah. But it was always there. I mean, weirdly, every once in a while you'd have like the one college guy who would show up to pick up his girlfriend in 10th grade. And we all just kind of were like, oh, that's weird. But other than that, everything kind of happened inside the school. But now people are saying that, you know, when it comes to dating apps, there's a bunch of older guys, there's like 30, 35 year olds, 40 year olds, guys my age, who are extremely successful, have a ton of money, and they're on these dating apps and they're just, here's my profile. And then all these young girls who would normally date guys in college with them are all just like swiping, is it left? Swiping left.
Swiping right.
Because they think they're right. Okay. Whatever. Swiping which way? Basically trying to hook up with these older men because they have money, they're more security. And people are saying that it's like, it's just causing rifts. It's causing people on, like, especially you could be like an average looking guy with a great job, but you're 23. And so you're competing with like 40-year-olds with Maseratis. Good luck, bro. And so I was just listening to more podcasts about this and hearing statistics, and it sounds like an awful world.
I mean, it is very interesting though, because like the amount of fucking like 18 or 19-year-old girls that are hitting on me is outrageous. Like, it's out of control. And I'm over here like, I'm 10 years older than you. No.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little, this isn't like the 50s. Like
we're not going to a sock.
I'm keeping this within 5 or 6 years or less. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's probably like smart.
It's super weird when that happens. And I mean, some of them are attractive and shit, but it's like, you have no life experience. There's nothing mentally that we can click on. You don't have the life experience yet.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. It does sound pretty awful. But
I mean, I've had great times on there, obviously, but you know, like everything, you take the good with the bad.
And everything in moderation. I was really concerned like how this was going to work when COVID came out, because I kept seeing like SNL skits of being like, how do you do this now? And people being real weird about that. And then you answered that question with the whole waxed vax and ready to party. I was kind of hoping that was just going to be like a satirical comedy skit. I didn't want people to kind of start wanting to do that, like using it as it's just a new fad now. I hate saying being vaxxed is a fad, but it is a bit of a fad. And yeah, it is what it is. I feel bad. The only reason I say this, I feel bad for people out there just trying to fit. Although they should have, you know how they have like farmersonly.com?
Vaxxed only.
What? Vaxxed only? Why not that? Or unvaxxedonly.com? Why not that? Like, why don't we just go for full secession of the states? Let's just split apart and become two different countries. It'll all start with unvaxxedonly.com. That's the whole Civil War thing is going to start there.
The cold civil, a cold civil website. War starts with unvaxxedonly.com. I love it.
You heard it here. This is that you heard it here.
You're going to go back in like 4 or 5 years, and this is going to be the fucking prophetic like podcast. Oh yeah.
Nailed it. That's good. Yeah. But I think it's strange. I feel bad for people trying to do the date. I mean, especially if you're going out to, well, I don't know. Is even in Albany, and I shouldn't say this in case Governor Hochul's listening, but even in Albany, not super crazy out here. And I know it's liberal country. It's upstate, so you kind of get away with a little bit more, but
happening right it's in her own backyard too. And she even has like, is it really true that she has that Hochul has that fucking vax necklace?
I don't know if she wears it on a daily, but I saw the video. The video, the words coming out of her mouth are insane, yes. Number one. But totally backed up with the necklace that says Vax, that's number two. But it's gold. Like, it's gold-plated. Like, she's a rapper. That's number. There's so many things wrong with that. But, yeah, she at least wore it one time. And that's enough for me to really, really distrust her.
Yeah, like, so, I'm over here, like, first off, it's not like you just got like a shitty little chain. You said it's like fucking gold. Like, you put some fucking money behind this, and it kind of looks good.
It could be, It could be fake, but I have a weird suspicion that she's not going to waste. She's not going to buy costume jewelry to save Vax. Even though the entire thing is theater, she's not going to buy costume jewelry.
Is she one of those that wears her mask to go to the podium and then takes it off? But then you'll see her behind the curtain, not wearing it when she's talking bullshitting with her friends and all that. Is she one of those?
Probably. I haven't been to anything she's spoken at. I mean, I don't even know if she's in the governor's mansion, which is where I used to live directly across the street from the governor's mansion a few years back, to where the governor's mansion was my front yard. And so you could always see.
You got Cuomo in there for so long.
Yeah. Every once in a while you'd see him with his binoculars out there in his underwear and you'd be like, dude, just get out of here. Get out of here. You have to shoo him off like pigeons. But no, I'm just joking. But yeah, I live there.
Are you though? Are you?
Am I? I don't know. I haven't seen her around. I'm assuming that she does the same thing everyone else does. And from talking to Alicia Purdy, who's running for mayor in Albany, she runs those crowds. And what I got from her conversation was very much so. This is very much very, very performative. And I wasn't sure, man. I wasn't sure how this is when I first started getting the government. Maybe you can answer this question for me. When did you first start realizing that there's some weird, they're smart, but they're doing a lot of things that make it seem like they're assuming that every American or at least every citizen is a complete and utter idiot. And I knew the moment I was like, all these things kind of make sense. And it was in the middle of COVID, but there was one thing that happened that solidified it for me, being like, oh, this is all an act. This is all, they're just trying to, they're just making it up as they go. I had multiple of those. What was yours?
In 2015, I was still, I've been interested in politics, but I was a basic bitch that was basically voting Democrat until about 2015. Okay, yeah. And my first presidential election vote was for Obama, and I got to own that shit, unfortunately. So.
That's not bad. I don't know much. Once again, I wasn't paying
attention. The second term Obama, not first term, when there's actually theoretically hope that he's changing.
Yeah.
I got to own that shit. The fucking second. I looked at the first term Obama in most of my high school. And then I get to my college and it's 2012. And I'm like, yeah, that's good. Apparently not the best decision maker, obviously, because, 19 years old, running wild on fucking house parties and voting Democrat because.
Yeah.
Great fucking thing. But
yeah, that's nuts. But I mean, let's be honest, just to your point, I didn't vote. Honestly, I wasn't registered to vote anytime before that. But to your point, he wasn't bad at speech. He was very good at communicating. There's not red Americans, there's not blue Americans. They're just Americans. And I was like, this guy's good. He's got it together. He seems very presidential.
You have to get
and then you're like, and that's my. Yeah. And then everyone was like, obviously, everyone hates Hillary. And then Trump came along and was like, this guy sounds like what you think he sounds like. He sounds like an idiot. He sounds like he's just rambling off. He's not thinking about things. He's just spouting it off. And you're like, all right, yeah, this doesn't seem right. And then I was like, well, then what would be the benefit of it? And then Biden comes in. But the guy isn't even making sense at all, worse than Trump would. At least Trump made sense when he ranted. I mean, it didn't make it at least had context. Didn't make sense, but had context. And now we're at a point where and the only thing he does say that has context is terrifying, utterly terrifying. And so I don't know, man. It just makes me wonder what's the next. So we've gotten crazy car salesman. Dementia Joe with terrifying statements coming out, authoritative statements coming. I don't have no idea.
And what's random, random bouts of fucking anger when he is fucking cogent.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. And that's my thing. It's what's the next president? President Nosferatu? What are we going for here? It's just getting worse and worse and worse. And so I don't know. I don't know, man. Makes me really concerned to what people really want in the presidential office.
Allegedly, he got the most votes of any single person ever. Ever.
Oh, I'm sure that happened. Sure. Hold on a second.
Allegedly.
I don't know
if you believe, again, I'm not all the way bought because first off, they're like, oh, it's completely safe, completely free. And I'm like, first off, every election has fraud. Even if it's not a little, even if it's just a little bit, it's just a little bit of fraud. So first off, your entire statement of you basically are instantly falsifiable by saying it's completely free, completely safe. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
But how much fraud was there? I mean, I know the government will go, will has no compunction about doing illegal shit or very bad shit. And so like, and they've rigged elections before in other countries. So it's not a matter of like, did they do this? It's to what degree did they do this?
To what degree and then how? But there was even that article that came out even like shortly after the election. And I forgot who put it out there, but it was basically like they didn't say election. They're like, we worked hard to fortify the election by suppressing a ton of information. All of these stories like killing the NY Post, like suppressing anything, disinformation on Facebook, Twitter. That's basically them just, the electronic mail-in voting, stuff like that. This is all part of fortifying Biden's election. It wasn't even like, we want to make sure the election's secure. They were literally saying we had to pull every stop we could legally, quote unquote, to make sure Biden got to be president. And it was just stuff like that. It was just weird, creepy, like, all right, like I'm not into, I like conspiracy theories, but I'm definitely don't believe in them. For the most part. Well, I didn't until this past 2 years. And now everything's game. Everything's game. Like, I think Captain America's on the moon. That's how far off I am. But yeah, I don't know. I think I like this now. I mean, it's terrible. But at the same time, if that many people voted for Biden, I mean, there could have been a ton of me out there where I just was like, wait, I don't care. I'm just not doing it. But if that many people voted for Biden, then there has to be at least a quarter of them being like, Bad idea. I messed up. So I'm hoping there's like a quarter of Americans out there being like, that wasn't.
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people that regret it, but like, I don't know, man. Some of these Democrats are just fucking brainwashed zombies. I mean, Republicans are too. Obviously, we know some Republicans are fucking morons, but it's true. It's a lot of them that are just fucking complete goddamn zombies. And then also relating back to your whole fortifying the election thing. Have you been following this like Facebook whistleblower, this Francis lady?
Oh,
which
dude, I didn't know anything about this. All I knew is I tried to post, like I put up an episode Monday and then I kept thinking Facebook kicked me out because nothing would work on Instagram or Facebook. And then I found out that something, is this have anything to do with what I mean,
possibly, Monday? But the big thing that, which by the way, this Facebook whistleblower thing, like if you read, the more you read into it, and if you're not like a fucking like statist idiot, you're going to figure out like, she's basically like coming out and saying like, oh, the safeguards we put in the election were taken down. And then now they're just letting people on and spread misinformation and all this first stuff, which again, we know people who have been zucked from Facebook for memes. So this is not a company that is worried about growth and all the fucking suppression they're doing about this fucking COVID thing, the fucking anything to do with like the election thing. Like, and then also the whistleblower lady comes out, Frances Hogan, I think her name is, or something like that. Like it's all, she's basically gone public with a PR team, got a 60 Minutes interview. 2 days later, she's in a fucking congressional subcommittee hearing that's on C-SPAN about this. That's been going on Tuesday and Wednesday, which is today, like as of recording, Wednesday.
She's
been in 2 days of congressional testimony, comes out on Sunday with a 60 Minutes interview that's all about her, has a fucking lawyer, PR team, a new Twitter account, and all this shit, and is just like, and like, and also she has a public identity and all this stuff. And she's parroting, like basically like, oh, we need to regulate Facebook more propaganda right as the government is really wanting to crack down on fucking any propaganda, anything that goes against the story of or the narrative of the COVID is the worst deadly thing of all time and not what it is. And that masking is maybe not the best idea for children in schools. That apparently makes you a conspiracy theorist now, but you know, it's just, it all smells like bullshit, just straight up.
Yeah, I agree, man. It's almost hard for me not to just assume it right off the bat.
Especially when
now, I think that's almost everybody. Especially
when she's like, oh, they're trying to grow. And I'm like, I know people who have literally been kicked off for memes.
Yeah.
That's not true. Seriously.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, to grow into what? They've kept the same system and the same entire base and have continuously just racked in money. It's almost like, what could you add to Facebook? If you wanted Facebook to grow, you would alter it to make it into something else. So when she says we want Facebook to grow by just existing, you just think more. There's going to be more boomers out there who need better recipes. They're just going to start joining
more Facebook. Boomers joining like, more shit. Makes, like they have their account.
I don't see it happening. Yeah, I don't see it happening. Also, we know this, that the majority of this stuff is scripted theater, man. We know this. I mean, did you see the picture of Biden getting his booster shot? And then it came out later as like he's in front of like a faux White House set with like digital windows that show like flowers in bloom in September. Yeah. It was like mind blowing, dude. Mind blowing. And it's just like, why? Who's writing these episodes? Like, what am I dealing with here? Like, how is this? It must have always been like this, and it's just the age of the internet, which means like no lie will be able to remain hidden in the dark. Like everything's going to eventually come out,
which is,
and I think we might start seeing that,
which is hilarious because like boomers will go back and be like, I remember when journalists used to be good, like Walter Cronkite, he was a straight shooter. He just gave you the news. And I'm like, bad news. He was a fucking libtard and he fucking was.
Hey, Graham.
Sorry.
I hate to break it to you, Graham.
Walter Cronkite was a super liberal that was correctly against, in my opinion, against the Vietnam War because of all the, you know, dealing with other people's business.
Everything. Well,
yeah. Like
all of the entire Vietnam War because of
yeah. And I mean, he just happened to be correct on that, but it was obviously a huge propaganda of literally, because if you remember, well, you obviously none of us remember, but when they're reporting on it, it'd be like they would constantly read out like the death tolls of the Viet Cong and the Americans every night. And then it would show like large protests every night. Like you think the Black Lives Matter protests were big? The fucking protests against the Vietnam War were fucking crazy big.
Really?
Nothing compared to what Black Lives Matter. Even the shit from last summer, nothing compared to that.
Really? That's weird because I've never heard of that, which, I mean, that's not actually much of a surprise, but you'd think you'd hear more about, like, the Vietnam protests.
Well, they covered the fuck out of it back then.
It's old news. Yes, I wasn't here, but that's still, I mean, I could see that. I think we have tons of movies out there where like even people, I mean, that was the age of the hippie. Like, of course they didn't want to go to war, you know, like that makes total sense. I could see that.
I mean, hippies have their own problems, but they at least are anti-war.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least they can put the anti-war thing aside and then try to focus on their other chakra problems. Then they don't have to at least worry about one problem.
I was going to say I thought you said shower problems for a second, but then I hear chakra shower. Yeah.
Both of them. Technically they have to worry about their shower problems.
Your chakras will be aligned if you take a shower first.
Yeah.
Preferably with soap.
Yeah. And none of that. Yeah. I was about to say none of that natural weird hemp soap that doesn't actually work. Real soap, like the one with good chemicals, like throw some bleach in there.
It'll be fine. Put it right all over your balls. It'll be fine.
Yeah, man. I think it's all performative. I'm with you on that. It's hard. It's for me now. I don't even think the question is this performative? I think it is. It starts off, well, this is obviously a lie, but what part might be true? And that's where my brain has moved to. So everything I hear, I'm like, all right, let's assume the lie. And then try to find the truth instead of vice versa. I'm going like, let's just assume it's true. And then maybe there's a lie. Nope, out the window. Now everything's a lie and I got to figure it out for myself.
So somewhat related to that is that assuming the lie and then trying to find the truth. When you hear like Biden saying like, oh, we're doing all these mandates and stuff. How much do you think that they actually want to do the mandates? Because mandates for vaccination for, again, the whole over 100 employees, if you work somewhere, you got to get vaccinated or you're not going to get employed because of OSHA or whatever. How much do you think that that's a lot of like fucking like posturing and then hoping that a lot of like risk averse companies will be like, oh, fuck, we got to go away, like American, Southwest, other like really large companies and shit. Like, do you think that is mostly a fucking like performative and hoping that risk averse companies stay away, or do you think they're actually planning to do the mandates?
I think, man, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't know. I think they're going to, I don't know if they're going to be able to do it. I mean, New York doubled down, man. They went for it. Now, I did hear something like they've only issued like 10 citations in the city of New York because of like the violating the vaccine mandate. But New York has already done it. Yeah, I mean, I think I don't know why they haven't, honestly. I think they're still trying to feel the water out of trying to see if something will change. But I'm honestly, I don't know. I don't know if they're bluffing or if they're just trying to make it sound like it. But at the same time, you have to assume, because the thing that they're probably all thinking of, maybe not Biden or the presidential, they're all thinking about 2022. And so there's going to be they're all assuming there's going to be a big shift. There's no way they're that ignorant to what all America is saying. And I mean, just the let's go Brandon thing. Like, if you were to pay attention to one thing, pay attention to that. There's no way that Biden has not been told, like, hey, man, this whole let's go Brandon thing trending on Twitter, it's not good. Like, they could keep him in the dark, but at least Kamala knows. Like, somebody up there has to know that, like, America's not super stoked about that.
You're saying that the media is lying and that the the whole bunch of college football stadiums aren't chanting fuck Joe Biden. They're saying let's go Brandon. What?
Yeah. No, it's the point where like everyone, it's a joke now. Like it's funny. Like it's so scary and stupid and confusing and frustrating that we're just laughing now. Like everyone keeps talking about these pill, like, you know, white pill means you're super optimistic. Black pill means you're pessimistic. Everything's going to hell. Red pill means you've woken up to the truth. And now everyone's talking about the clown pill, where it's so terrible that all you can do is laugh because it's ridiculous. And I think they're going to have to start focusing on that aspect. And I think they're going to start pushing for 2022. And I don't know what their strategy is. Either they go, well, the only way we're going to continue to keep the power and authority that we have without handing it off to, I don't understand. It's pretty much one party wherever you go. So I don't know how that works, but
it's a part of the whole theater that you were talking about earlier, that it's the theater of opposition where, oh no, we can't let these evil Republicans get the fucking House or the Senate. Then we won't get our shit done. Oh no. It's all acting theater. Yeah.
It's all acting. So, and that's my point of being like, well, then what would be the point of bluffing? Because if they're, I mean, there things could change if you switch up parties, only if you would elect a different party. I don't think the Republicans are going to do much. Well, hopefully, if they do get a majority of 2022, you know, we see a lot of Republicans. We take when people like they take the House and the Senate and all that stuff. Hopefully, after these past 2 years, Republicans are kind of not so wimpy and they do something. I hope not. I hope they move. I had this conversation with a guy who's a Republican recently. And he was talking about, like, you know, libertarians should come to the Republican side. And I was like, here's the thing. The more libertarians are, they're voting Republican, but they're not voting. They're not making the Republicans stronger. They're literally turning Republicans into libertarians just from the inside. Like, you have people who love Rand Paul. Guy's a Republican. Larry Elder. I mean, he runs as a Republican. Larry Elder for the mayor thing in California. He ran as a Republican. The guy is super libertarian. And so I was like, well, fine, keep your Republican Party, but it's going to be nothing but libertarians coming up. The more and more they do that, so I don't know. I'm not much of a political commentator, but it makes me nervous that they might not be bluffing. They might go full stop. But if they do that, they know it's an uphill climb, and they know it's going to be difficult to. They've got to understand that more people. If they want people vaccinated, more people would be had they not even brought up the word mandate. But as soon as you bring up a word mandate to an American, I mean, I was the same way. Like I have problems with authority. And so if you want to be if you give me an ultimatum, or if you try to flex that muscle, I automatically dismiss you. I was the same way in school. Like I couldn't do sports very well because we always had to go work out. And the only way the football coaches could get people motivated, like, lift those weights. If you don't lift those weights, and you got to get. And as soon as he started yelling, I just like, I quit. I'm out. I'm not going to do this. You're not going to talk to me like a child. Mind you, I was in high school, so he probably should have listened. But I was an idiot. And I was like, you're not going to do that to me. And so I assume most people are like that. The more and more they go, well, if you want to enjoy movie theaters, you better get fine. Keep your movie theater. I don't need
it. Yeah, fuck your movie theater. Well,
you want to enjoy Joe Rogan's comedy show? Fine. Take that too. Watch me. The thing that blows my mind is people are like, well, you know, what happens if people just stop going to these things? And you know what happens? The dollar moves somewhere else. And AMC movie theaters can be like, you know what? This sucks. We need to figure out another way to get people back because enough people are not complying. And they're not going, you know, I really miss movies. Screw your movie theater. Like, movie theater is my go-to. I love movies. Like, I love going to a theater specifically. But I'll give that up. And eventually someone's going to come down the line and be like, you know what? We're not doing this. Here's your unvaxxers. Here's your unvaxxed movie theater. You know, it's unvaxxersonly.com. Like, this is going to happen. And so I'll wait it out. You want to play the hard game? Watch me. I'll wait it out. And then as soon as it comes, I'll make my own movie theater. What's that Futurama thing where I'll make my own theme park? With hookers and blackjack. Forget the blackjack.
Oh my God.
I miss Futurama. But yeah, that was it's one of those things, man. Sorry, that was a long rant.
Oh, you're good. Yeah. I mean, the problem with saying, well, the only problem is that I'll make the fucking direct comparison and say like, oh, this is like, oh, like a vaxxed and unvaxxed, and you put it over a water fountain, and some people get, oh, you can't fucking compare. And I'm like, I mean, if you want to get like real technical, we're separating people based off of
this is
things.
Very much segregation. This is absolutely segregation.
Yeah, but some people get fucking butthurt about it if you say anything about it on fucking Twitter, which I don't fucking care, but some people do.
I can see, and it's the same argument. I understand the argument of like, this isn't the same. It's definitely not the same kind of segregation because you absolutely have the choice of whether or not you want to get vaxxed or not at this point in time, for the most part, unless you're some medical exemption or whatever you want to say. But basically it still kind of comes up to a choice. Whereas in like segregation, you just be like, can't choose to be black. You're just born that way. You can't choose to be white. You're born that way. So that segregation is something that you never really had to say. So the problem is the vax and unvax thing, where it might not, it might be an apples to oranges. It's still a fruit. Like, we're still in the fruit basket. Like, it's two different things, same basket. And so you can make that argument in comparison all day long. The argument's never going to go anywhere because the point of the argument is saying, is this wrong? Because a lot of people, I mean, there was that poll that came out, was like half of, you know, more than half of Trump supporters want to leave the America and make their own. More than half of Democrats want to do the same. Like, the world wants to peacefully divorce.
I mean, I'm down, but, you know.
I'm okay with that at this point in time. The more and more I thought about it, I don't know how that looks. I haven't really spent some time thinking that. I want to have more people on the podcast to talk about that, what that looks like, because I it could be a possibility, especially if they start going. Like, I think if they would pull Australia or New Zealand here, we would have already had it. But I think it's a slow boil. I think they're not going to go there yet.
I mean, so, I'm down. We'll I'm down for a national divorce myself. But and then some people will say like, oh, well, they won't let that happen. I'm like, well, I mean, there's a lot of things that the government didn't want to happen, but the people made it happen all over the fucking world. Weird shit happens the fucking time. And then if you get a lot of people who are like, okay with fucking separating, I think it's fucking great. You have your fucking blue state utopia over here and then literally a fucking red state utopia over there. Like, I'm okay with that. Like, you get to choose where you want to live, like, and then you get to live amongst people that you like to talk to and you agree with and all that. That sounds fucking great, like, for everybody.
That was legit, from what I understand. That was what the United States was. The states are supposed to have more sovereign power than the federal government. They were only supposed to step in for a very small amount of things. They're not supposed to be that big. So you would move to a state that you preferred. You know, like, if you like. You like this particular stuff. You can literally take the United States and just apply the principle that started off with, like, states decide how they want to run. Unless there's a disagreement between the two, then they go federal. But for the most part, if you like, you know, shooting guns in Walmart, then move to Texas. Like, why not? It's great. If people like it there. I'm just like, well, I don't like the abortion thing. Then get out. Let them have their abort. Let them let them, like, whatever they, you know, like, let them do it. You want to be, you know, like, well, you know, Marx was really smart. Then make Oregon, just make it Marx country. And then you could just go there and try all these cool theories, like even libertarianism. It tends to be a theory. We have our own, like, minarchists and anarchic capitalists. We have all these different kind of sects of this stuff. We're like, no, let's talk about this theory. I've got a great idea. Let's test the theories out. Why not? Here's a county out in New York. Why don't you turn that into a minarchist county or something like that and just see what happens?
You could literally have fucking Ancapistan in a fucking county.
No joke, you could. And then if and when it fails, no, I'm just joking. I mean, I don't know. I haven't thought about it, but if and when it fails, at least there's minimal damage. And so you destroyed it. Same thing like a town losing all budget or like a coal mining town going belly up and people have to move. So, Ancapistan, it totally bombed. We got to move over a county and go over to, Stalin land. Try that one out. And we'll hop over there. And then when we're in Breadline, then let's pop over to Jesus land. And then when we're like, well, I don't know about the communion thing, it makes me feel weird. And then you could just jump from different things and you can try them out. At least it's inside of a state or a country of being like, we're going to try some stuff. Let's see what happens. With some basic rules between the two, other than that, don't start a war with each other. And then keep trade open, keep or some kind of trade thing, I would assume. But now I'm thinking about, they're already stopping that. California is already like, we're not shipping anything to Texas because of abortion. It's like,
yeah,
and that's going to help. What's the goal of that, California? Like, well, we don't like their loss. So you're going to be like, well, we're not going to give them anything. So they change. They're not going to change it. It's Texas. They're not going to change their laws because you're not sending your avocado toast there. Like, grow up. Like, what is the deal?
Yeah, Texans and from what I know about living in Texas, there's a lot of California people coming here and they're not the biggest fans of that.
No, they're not. That makes sense to me. Although I'm a Texan and I moved to New York.
Oh, so shit. What part of Texas?
It's like the vice versa. Southeast Texas. Southeast. But then I lived in San Antonio for a while. I went to college in Houston. My sister lives up in Dallas. I have family all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, I'm relatively new to Dallas, only a couple years here. But yeah, it's very interesting how, like, how regional Texas is. You'll have like North Texas where I'm at and it's kind of bougie somewhat depending on where you're at. You go to Houston and it's just the fucking goddamn sprawl out there. It's fucking crazy. Yeah,
that's it.
Austin, San Antonio, Houston. Good Lord, there's so much totally shit. Different. And then you get out of...
They're their own countries, man. They're all... Every one of them's different.
There's fucking like bumfuck middle of Texas, which is seven hours of nothing. In between North Texas and South Texas, all the way until you get to fucking El Paso, which is basically I'm okay with giving back to Mexico at this point. You can have
it. Yeah, they can have that one.
And it's also got Beto O'Rourke over there, so
give him too. Let him go there.
He'd be more.
I'm pretty sure Beto O'Rourke is Latinx, isn't he
Latinx? No, he's Irish. Robert Francis O'Rourke.
How did that one slip by me? I mean, with like a name like O'Rourke, sounds very Hispanic.
And his real name is fucking Robert Francis.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he's Irish.
Oh, man. This is a clown world, dude. We live in a clown world. This was the moment I realized that they really, really don't think anyone thinks about stuff. Do you remember during the George Floyd, all the George Floyd stuff going on? And then all of like, I was a Congress wore like kente cloth and then they kneeled. Like, you are the whitest. You know, when people are like, there's white people being white again. Like, you can't get any more stupidly white than that. Like totally unaware of your surroundings or what's going on in the world. You thought wearing a kente cloth and kneeling for, 8 minutes, that was good PR. You thought that was good PR? Like, who is up? What are they just drunk all the time, dude? Can you just tell me that? Be like, no, they're just literally hammered all day, every day. And then I'd be like, okay, no, everything makes sense. Cause there's no way they thought this through.
Like, it's,
there cannot be any way.
We're not like the fucking like MIT level scientists here.
Oh God, no, dude. Finish college by any means.
Like, we have enough fucking like street smarts and fucking like a little bit of like common sense to know maybe instead of doing kente cloth kneeling, maybe addressing literally anything else as a part of that.
Anything else, or doing just, I mean, it literally anything, but they went hard, man. And that's what I'm saying. Like, they must've been, I don't know. I think a lot of people say that politicians, they kind of like live in a bubble. And so they're inside the bubble and they think everything outside the bubble is just like the bubble that they live in. You know, the elites live in this bubble and they're like, this is what we believe. And this is all our talking points. So of course everyone else believes it. And I think they forget that, like, no, world's totally different outside that bubble. And I just don't know if they picked up on that one yet. I
mean, one of the theories I'm running on is that most of politics, and this may not be that crazy of a theory, it might be pretty fucking common, that most politics is fucking, as you say, theater, or in my opinion, more symbolism. It's more important that you are symbolically against something rather than actually fixing the fucking problem. Because if you're symbolically against police brutality, you can be against it, but then you still get to rake in all the money that it fucking brings in to the excess police state. But if you're really against it, you do like what Justin Amash and Rand Paul did last year, which is introduce legislation saying, oh, you know those no-knock raids that are going after dudes that are selling weed? Nah, you ain't doing that shit. Oh, you want to fucking try to do some qualified immunity and fucking beat the shit out of someone and they're like, oh, fuck, qualified immunity. No, you can't do that. They put legislation down to say, like, hey, don't do that shit. And then it goes fucking nowhere. That's proof positive that it's all fucking symbolic. There's no real fucking initiative to actually fix shit because they fucking benefit from the fucking status quo that we have.
Why would they? You're right. And I think that whole symbolism thing, I mean, that is what an actor does, right? They embody a symbol of a character, or at least the archetype of a character. They are themselves the hero, or, you know, the martyr, or the whatever they are. They're not really. They're just playing a part just to make sure you believe it. And if they're really good at it, you'll believe them. And that's what I'm saying. I don't think they're playing political theater, but I think they're so bad at it. This is like a kindergarten play. Like, they're messing up all of them. Joe Biden's literally messing up his lines. Like, literally. Like, that's not even a figurative of speech. Like, he's literally messing up his lines. And then he's looking at the paper being like, oh, I wasn't supposed to say that. Dude, you're breaking the fourth wall and reading the script. Stop, dude. Like, you're being the worst president ever. You're deadpooling it all over the place. That's not what you're supposed to do. And so, I don't know, man. I think, I'm sorry, I'm just going on another rant. I think it's, at this point in time, it's either extremely malicious and they're doing it just to throw me for a loop, and I'm the guy who's not really paying attention, but kind of. But now it's getting so weird that I'm like, well, I really might start after looking at this. And maybe they're just doing it to throw me off of some kind of malicious cabal trail. Maybe, you know, maybe they really are drinking blood of children or something, whatever that thing was.
Alex Jones was right about it, and they wants to do the globalist.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, it is what it is. I, at this point in time, I can't believe, I'm going to stick to my guns and say, I can't believe there's an evil cabal who is this bad at what they do. Like, this bad. I mean, they're obviously not that bad. People are falling for it, but I wasn't even paying attention 2 years ago. And now you got my attention. And so you did something wrong. If you didn't want that, if you wanted an idiot guy like me to not pay attention to what's going on, then it was something bad happened. So I would assume they're failing in some aspect.
Well, the weird part is that the weird part is that their messaging is fucking falling apart, because on this fucking bill they're doing for $3.5 trillion or whatever, they're saying that, like, oh, it's going to cost $0 because we're going to tax the fucking wealthy, which, first off, just, if you literally think about it for longer than 2 seconds, you'll find out that a $3.5 trillion spending bill costs money. Yeah. Like, and they're putting this out here and then seriously expecting non-fucking retarded people to think, oh, this is going to cost nothing because I'm not paying. Like, seriously, I don't understand. Like, who do they think they're fucking fooling besides, like, literally people who are so fucking partisan that their brains are rotten?
They have to be, man. I mean, if you weren't paying it, like, even the other stuff that came out, I forgot what Psaki said, or Psaki
said. Circle back Psaki.
Something about, like, yeah, whatever. She said something like, to think that if we raise taxes on businesses, that they're going to toss those, that price increase down to the customers is absurd. And I was like, wait, what? Like, wait, what? And then they're like, here's a way to get more taxes. Let's tax per mile. And then a bunch of people on Twitter were like, hold on. Who do you think does most of the driving? The rich people or the poor people? And I was like, you're taxing the poor with these stupid tax. And I was just like, oh my God. Like, who is up there? They're all drunk, dude. I'm settling on. They're all just, they're hammer drunk, and they're just tossing stuff out and laughing about it.
Or your original theory that they all think we're fucking stupid.
I think they think that too. I think they think we're stupid. They're all hammered, and they're just tossing stuff out and laughing and trying to ride whatever wave this is before everything collapses. Maybe that's it. And then the day before, they'll pull like a, they'll just pull the ripcord, escape from New York, escape from Washington D.C., and then all live in Puerto Rico or something and leave us to pick up whatever mess, civilization, Walking Dead style. But yeah, man, I don't
good
know.
Good times.
Yeah, this is a super depressing conversation. My bad. I think I steered this down a really dark path.
Oh, you're good. This is exactly the type of conversation I like to have. The more black-pilled, the better.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. I'm actually normally, and you know this about Clubhouse, I'm normally the guy with the white pill. Like, I'm always like, things are going to get better. And I normally, truthfully, I am very optimistic about the future. But the more and more I think about the dark parts of it, the more and more like, this optimism, I'm having to put a lot of work in to be super stoked and thinking the future's, you know, bright ahead. I do think so. But a part of it is, I, once again, an idiot like me, if I can see it, then that I have to be the last one in line. There's got to be a ton of people ahead of me who've already been having these conversations and thinking about this stuff. There are people ahead. I assume there would be more, especially people with like in college with PhDs, you know, people who are influencers. Like, your job's got to be difficult. You got to know what you've had to look at this stuff. And then I'll see Cenk Uygur on Twitter just suck the establishment. And I'm just like, God, what? Wait, what? And it just makes no sense to me, dude. It makes no sense. So I'm still optimistic.
Well, the weird part for me is that I am optimistic long term. Like, when it comes to like the future of the country,
okay, that's what
I'm because a lot of people will hear me talk and like hear me on Clubhouse where I'm just like railing against the government, like these fucking people, God damn it, fuck. Yeah. But they'll think I'm like ultra black-pilled, and I'm like, I'm not so black-pilled that, because if you get too black-pilled, you fucking kill yourself. But then
that's the ultimate black pill.
But I am optimistic in the future, but like, there's some dark days ahead. That's where I'm at. Yeah. I'm like, it's going to get worse before it gets better.
You might be right, but it might also have to get worse. That was the thing I was thinking about this whole, like, I'm okay with, could you imagine, there's two things. I would prefer, honestly, I don't know. I wish a libertarian would have won the presidency just to see what kind of, just to live in a world where that happened, just to see like, okay, we've been talking about it, but let's see what happens now. Like, everyone hold still and see if it turns, you know, into another one party branch of another one party system. But I'm kind of glad Biden won. I have to say that with a not super stoked, but I am happy at the idea. Like, you said, this is what you wanted. You said Trump was like the worst thing in the world, and now this is what you wanted. So we're all watching it. So when we say we told you so, or, you know, someone says something, you know, like, everyone was pointing, even now, I'm not a Trump supporter. I didn't even vote Republican. I'm a libertarian centrist guy. But even when he was running, I was going, there's some really weird stuff happening. He seems kind of corrupt. I don't know. I mean, okay, sure, the laptop wasn't real, but kind of look at him. Like, there's some weird stuff going on. And now we all get to sit back and go, we told you so. And people get to be like, I regret voting for him. I prefer that than actually having another 4 years of Trump. And I say that because it was never going to get any better. If Trump got elected for another 4 years, he couldn't, I don't know much about what goes on in those workings, but he, number one, didn't drain any swamp.
No.
I think he would have given an effort if he would have, I don't know, I had this conversation before. I wish he would have fired more people. Like that was what he was known for. Like, why didn't you do that? Like, why didn't you walk in and just straight up apprentice it? Like the whole thing, like fire, like the security guards at Dwight, fire everyone, like fire the whole thing. And then bring your whole camera crew in and be like, these are the new guys. You do something like that. That would have been interesting, but I don't think we would have got anything. We would have got Orange Man. Is not only is Orange Man a fascist and bad, but he is literally genealogically connected to Hitler or some kind of garbage like that for the next 4 months. And then not only is he run by Russia and China, but now there's a new country called Russia, and he's run by them too. And we have all the documents and we've had them for days, and we're going to tell you about them, but we're going to say we would have another 4 years of this garbage. So you know what? Great. Let's have Biden and just see all this glorious how bad Trump was. Let's just see what happens. And we're like 10 months in and it's a frigging disaster, dude. Like it's just Afghanistan alone was just enough for me to be like, well, this was a mistake. Can we go back? Cause this is bad. This is bad. And so, yeah, let it ride out. I'm excited to see if it gets darker, if it gets worse. There's the best part is there is light because we know what is bad and what is good at that point. So maybe it gets better after.
Well, what's going to be weird is that from what I'm seeing, though, like I do like the optimism, like, oh, the told you so's are coming and people are going to see the light. I'm having a vanishingly small amount of confidence that people just don't fucking dig in because it's like they have like fucking blinders on. Because they're like, I like see no evil. It's all good, baby. No more Trump. Oh my God. Yeah. Wow. We don't have him anymore. We can relax. We can go back to brunch. We have fucking decency back in the White House. Oh.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
If you've been to Dallas, you probably know North Dallas. It's literally those fucking people. It's just like brunch fucking liberals that fucking just sit around and fucking like eat their fucking avocado toast and fucking $15 fucking mimosas. Like, no, like it's those people that are voting and don't give a fuck about anything because all they're worried about is fucking posturing. That's all it is.
Yeah. Yeah. The limousine liberals, I think was a term I heard recently. And I was like, I like that. Limousine liberals. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm with you on that. It's weird. Like I've never been much of one to take a side. And I think I had this on a podcast that's coming out recently. I talked to a guy and he asked me, he's like, well, I mean, do you wish you voted? And I was like, honestly, it's getting to the point where I kind of do, man. I hate to say that, but like looking back, I mean, I live in New York, so my vote doesn't really count anyway if I would have went that direction. That's why I'm like my only votes that count for me in New York because there's not a lot of libertarians here. They're the ones that are strong and loud about it. And I enjoy that, but this is in New Hampshire. And so I know I'm not going to get much of a vote on that, but even if I was to be like full on Trump supporter and vote Trump, not going to matter in New York. And so, in principle, maybe it will, but so no, I don't know. I still don't think about voting, but I definitely think I'm torn on what multiverse reality I want to live in right now. Would I want another 4 years of Trump? Probably a lot less dead people. I know according to Trump, a ton of people died, from Corona, but I think it would have been the same had he not been in office. At least I don't know, man. I don't think it would have been, it doesn't feel like it would have been this bad.
I mean, it can't be. I mean, they've been meddling in it from the very fucking beginning. So we have no idea what it looks like when the government takes a hands off approach and kind of goes, it's a virus, man. Like, do take your own fucking risk, like take your own assessment of your risk and then go about life. Like we don't know what it's like because they immediately fucking like went fucking Stasi on us and fucking did this shit.
Dude, that's a really good point. We don't, man. We all remember when it was just like 2 weeks, this is going to get really weird for 2 weeks. Well, the biggest lie of the century, dude. The biggest lie of the century. And
the closest we've had to like a hands-off approach, even if it's not as very hands-off at all, is fucking Florida. That's been the least. He still had a lot of hands and, you know, all this stuff. But like, you mean you're in New York? You get it.
Yeah, no, I get it. Luckily I live upstate. If I lived inside New York City, I would have not stayed. There would have been no way you could keep me staying there. I would have I would have moved up to where I live now. So I'm happy about that. But yeah, I mean, if it gets worse up here, me and my wife have talked about that. New Hampshire's not far, but I love New York. I actually love it. Politics aside, I love it up here. So I don't want to. And that's why I'm kind of hoping they just kind of, like, I thought the Cuomo thing, like, that was great. Like, I mean, not that he was a piece of garbage. And he tried to use him being Italian to get away with sexual harassment, which was a weird call. Good luck with that one, buddy. I thought that was going to be like his, like, oh, okay, don't kick me out. No mandates for anybody. New York's going full DeSantis with it. Just to maybe save face and maybe get people talking more about, like, Governor Cuomo switches to Republican. That would have took, like, stories away from Governor Cuomo kills 20,000 people in nursing homes. I thought he was going to pull that kind of card, and I was kind of fingers crossed about it. Like, you've made so many mistakes, you better start making up for it now, or you'll be up. And then he just laughed. He was like, no, I'll suck it up. I'll take the hit and leave. And so that was kind of a bummer. I thought we were going to get some Wild West stuff here in New York because of Cuomo being such a piece of garbage of a person.
We'll give you a free white bill, though. A free white bill is down in New York. They've had protests ongoing almost daily for a couple of weeks now.
Oh, yeah. Dude, but it wasn't even just protests. It was like stuff you would never see. It was like BLM and Trump supporters marching together in unison of being like, the government's doing a terrible job. Like, this is what I want. I wanted this. I wanted this back like last year when the George Floyd, like all the protests and stuff happening then. It was so weird because people were going, and I understand you don't want it to like go up, but if you remember before like BLM protests, like months before, there was like Trump supporter, but it was weird because they were Trump was in office, but there were people like, you can't shut us down. We want to be able to go out and do what we want. It was right when the 2 week thing happened. And people were like, these people shouldn't be protesting. They're going to get everybody sick. And then BLM came and everyone's like, so everyone should be protesting with BLM. And it was like, all right, this is a complete disastrous lie. And I was like, this would have been great. It should have been last year should have been like, you know what? Black lives matter. And we should be able to get out and celebrate that any way we want to. And that's fine. And if that means like opening up all the churches and every business and no more mandates for anything, that would have been a great thing for BLM because they would have been like the leading cause of freedom coming back. It wouldn't have just been like, it would just been a great movement. Anyway, I'm happy to see it now. BLM and people wanting their freedoms back, them coming out and saying like, this mandate is racist. This mandate is segregating people. This mandate is going to destroy America. They're all coming together in unison. And it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. So I'm super excited about that. Yes, very white-pilled. Hope Hochul's paying attention because it says a lot. I mean, that's not easy. That's not easy to do. And so people coming together like that really mean it. And they really have something they're looking forward to.
And
so
in,
if you're in office and you're supposed to be a public servant, you better be paying attention.
Yeah, and in New York City of all places. Basically the most liberal place in the fucking world, besides maybe San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah, you might. I think the only, Staten Island isn't considered New York City, is it? I don't know if it is or not.
Yeah,
they're pretty Republican there, but that's about it.
From what I keep hearing is that a lot of mainland New Yorkers don't consider Staten Island New York City.
I don't think I would either. It's just like another neighborhood. It's basically New Jersey. It's fine. New Jersey can have.
And then New Jersey, from all I know, and is trash, but you know.
Yeah. The only thing I know about New Jersey is from watching Sopranos. That's literally
it. I'm surprised you haven't been there, but then again, you're in upstate, so you're not like right there.
I probably have. I probably driven through New Jersey and just didn't think it was anything other than New York. I probably just was like, hey, it's another part of New York, not knowing I was in a completely different state. Once again, not super aware. So if I notice something, you know it's got to be bad because I don't pay attention. And
fuck, I've been to the East Coast. Like, I know how that fucking... The states will fucking creep up on you. You'll be through like Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and all that shit. Like super fucking.
Yeah, quick. And we're used to especially me. I'm used to Texas, where if I'm driving for 4 hours, I know I still haven't left the state. Like I'm like, no, I'm almost halfway there, and up here you drive an hour and you've hit three so far. So it's what it is.
It's becoming a lot of like Dallas, especially, is because I'm living here, I noticed because I have family in Southern California, it's becoming very much like that because you go through like down the highways and like, it's just, we're all as far as the eye can see.
Yeah.
And you'll just see a town like, oh, I'm in Bedford. Oh, I'm in. Bo-.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy up
there. Yeah. I do. There's parts of that I do. I never liked Dallas. I only didn't like Dallas because of the highway system. I thought was garbage. The idea that there's like four different 35s, there's like a 35E, a 35W, a 35 North, a 35. It's just like, hold on. Could you have not just made them different numbers just to keep people from going insane? That was the first thing I knew about Dallas that made me really mad. That, and I also didn't think of it part of Texas. The only thing Dallas has that's a saving grace is like Chuck Norris being Walker, Texas Ranger, and the Cowboys. Like, that's it. Other than that, I think Texas would have cut Dallas off and gave it to Oklahoma. Like, you could just have this as an anniversary gift or something. I don't think Texas really likes Dallas too much.
I mean, Dallas doesn't like fucking Houston and shit. I could tell you that much. Yeah, hell true. No. They're over here just like, oh, Houston? Oh.
Yeah, hold on. Houston doesn't like Houston. They're like, we're just here because we're necessary. Like, we run everything. We'll make sure you get everything out of the port. But other than that, we're just hot. We don't want to be here. We're just providing a service.
You got all the problems of fucking, they have all the problems of fucking like living in Texas, but also like the fucking deep humidity of like the deep South.
And none of the, it's all the problems of living in Texas with none of the fun stuff.
Yeah, like it at least gets somewhat dry up here in Dallas. It doesn't get, it's super fucking humid in Houston. It's somewhat,
it's
fucking rough. It's, yeah. Living here, I mean, I'm probably going to be moving to Vegas in a couple years, probably really soon, but
that'll be cool.
But my whole family's out west, so it'll be closer to them. And then I've always wanted to live in Vegas because entertainment. Oh, yeah,
that's actually not a bad idea, dude. I've never been there, but I hear it's awesome. I've been there. I want to see the Grand Canyon one time before.
Oh, shit. My fucking folks, they live in Arizona and they fucking get to go up there whenever the hell they want, and it's a 2-hour drive.
Man, that's whatever. I can go to Boston, it's like a 3-hour drive. It's not as good as
you get fucking rude assholes. Like, that's what Boston is known for.
That's the best part about it. That's my favorite part about Boston. Is everyone's rude, so I fit right in.
There you go.
It's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah. Hell yeah, brother.
Dude, I enjoyed this, dude. This was good. I feel bad because I ranted. I ranted the majority of the time. I hope that's what you were wanting. I know, yes. I only do that on Clubhouse. Honestly, this is very much like a Clubhouse episode. I normally don't just go off for 20 minutes.
Dude, the less I talk on my own podcast, the better. Because usually the guest is infinitely like more interesting, smarter, like all this other good shit. The less I talk, the better.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I realized I was like, this is not being, you just were like, what can I poke David with to get him to say something? And I was like, I got this. You don't worry about this. Sit down. I'll take over from here. And I just ran with it. But no, I enjoyed it.
I usually have a lot more jokes involved, but yeah, there we go.
Well, now I'm a little disappointed. We could have pulled out more dick jokes. That'd have been a little funner. I'm just playing. That's all right. I need less dick jokes in my life anyway. I have plenty of those around.
I mean, well, you know.
But yeah, I definitely ranted. But yeah, this is fun, man. I'm looking forward to keeping up with you. I got to go check out the Thomas interview. I haven't heard him. I haven't really paid attention to most of the other podcasts I know he's been on, but I love hearing him talk. I love him. He's so funny, dude. He's one of the funniest people I know. It's always a good time listening to him. He's got the best jokes.
All the stories, all of them.
Yeah, all the stories and all the best jokes. Yeah, if you're listening to this right now and you're like, this David guy, this one's pretty good, just turn this one off and go back and listen to the interview with Thomas Quitter. I'm sure it's like a million times better hearing his jokes than mine.
Oh, and then like what's interesting about the interview I did with him was that like I was like, I'm happy go lucky, all that kind of stuff, having fun. And then like it got dark and I'm just like, oh.
Oh,
well,
really?
I mean, he's talking about like Well, I mean, we're talking about serious stuff like all the time, but then like towards the end, he's talking about like as the shit he's seen as like a disabilities activist. And like the horror stories of like fucking like Marine vets, like basically getting bed sores from fucking not being moved in nursing homes for 6 months.
And
then you're over here. Like, I'm not making a joke during this. This is too,
That's hard.
And then I had the best question I probably had for him is that like, as somebody who's like a public figure, because he's more of a public figure than us, but I mean, we're working our way there, but like as somebody who's like in the, because even like just being a libertarian, you'll hear the horror stories of like the government fucked me over this way. The government fucked me over this way and that way. And he gets like 1,000 times more. And my big thing I asked him is like, how do you like, not just want to like burn everything to the ground and like salt the earth because of all the horror stories you've heard. And like, I know I'm probably like doing a little fucking like watch the podcast to listen.
No, that's good. You got to, I'll say it. I tell you what, I'm interested. And I know Thomas's story and I haven't heard half of them. So I'm going to go back. And like I said, if you're listening to this, I would definitely go back and watch that interview. Because if I know Thomas, it's always a good time. I'm planning on having him on my podcast. But like I said, I want to get video so I can start becoming a YouTube influencer. And then
work get on all that stuff. Of all the titty pics in your DMs, all of them.
That's it. That was the only reason I was doing this. I had a buddy of mine, actually. I'll say this on your podcast. I won't say it on mine. I mean, I guess I could. Yeah, ask me one day. He was talking about the pod. He listened to one of the episodes and he got on the question. He was like, Dave, why do you even do the podcast? Not as like an insult. He was like, it's really good, but I asked him a question about it. He was like, well, what's the purpose of the podcast? And I was like, well, I'm a bit of an introvert, only unless I push myself out of it. So doing stuff like this keeps me extroverted a little bit. Because if I didn't do podcasts, I would never see the light of day unless I had to. So I was like, keep me in that, work on my communication skills. I want to be better at a communication just with one-on-one or with people and to sell art. And so I was like, that's initially why I started, was kind of these, or at least why I was doing it now. These three things. I totally forgot where I was going.
You're trying to slang paintings, but like verbally and being like, hey, I'm going to have an interesting conversation. Exactly. I'm going to have an interesting conversation, but like every once in a while, I'm going to be like, yo, if you like this conversation, I got some fucking art there here, bro.
I got art. That's literally one of the commercials I have in the middle of my podcast, which is like, hey, I don't know if you know this, but I do more than just talk. And I just go into like art stuff. But it's always good. Always plug yourself in anything. Speaking of which, can I plug myself?
I was going to ask. I'm like, oh, man, you just made the fucking transition super fucking easy. Like, go plug away, brother. Yeah.
And then I ruined it by midway asking you if I could. I set it up. I set up the volley and then jumped right back in and knocked it back.
Does this look like a fucking professional operation here? Like, no. Like, I have a fucking like dirty kitchen in my background. Like, fucking go for it.
It's fun. Yeah, you got it. Anybody listen to this and they want to hear more of my mouth, you can find my podcast at the Pardon Will Podcast. It's on all platforms. Just search that up and you'll see it. And if you do want to see what the art that we're talking about, you can go to my Etsy shop. It's etsy.com/shop/pardonwill. Or you can just go to pardonwill.com. Everything's there. So PardonWill.com. That's it. That's
my awesome, brother. I appreciate you being on this shit show. And then,
this is great. I love it. I needed this. This is therapeutic for me from having to do interviews all the time. Just answering questions and ranting. I love it, dude. I love it. I got to have you come on and we'll chat some more about podcasting when I start doing video.
Brother. I appreciate it.
I'll wait till you get a good background. Unless you like, we can do the kitchen sink. I'm okay with
that. I mean, if I'm going to do the fucking background that has like dirty, I need to have like a bong in the background, even though I don't smoke weed, I will buy a bong and put it in the background and then like, put like fucking Cheetos and Oreos around it just as fucking stoner decor.
Yeah. And maybe some like toddlers running around unwatched, like around the bong and stuff like that. Just someone's random kids, like ask a family member to bring over their kids and just have them walking around in the background at all times throughout the entire
podcast. And then randomly interrupt and be like, who's that guy on the other screen?
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah, dude, I think that's great. I think you got, I've seen a lot of podcasters' backgrounds, but I think that one would nail number one in my book. I think I'd have to call that. I think you would have a better one than I would for sure.
Well, fuck yeah, brother.
Yeah. But next time, dude, we'll do video. I'll have you on and we'll just rant, me and you. And then we'll see if people can tell us apart with our voices.
Oh yeah. And also if you've been listening and you might be stoned, this has been two different people the whole time.
Two different people. All right, man. Well, it's a good time.